Hi, this is Pastor Rusty Gunther, First Baptist Church of Bowling Rock. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast. I'm really excited about today's message. It was recorded on Sunday, May the 12th, 2013, which was Mother's Day. And I'm excited because we had an opportunity not just to honor and thank our mothers, but to honor and thank all of the women in our lives as we studied Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 has been described as a description of a wife of noble character. But in the Hebrew, it describes so much more. The actual Hebrew translation is described as a woman of valor. And I was excited that we were able to empower and set free and encourage many of our women about the life that they live according to Jesus Christ. I hope you'll listen and I hope you enjoy. And give us some feedback. Email us and let us know what you think. I hope this message blesses you as we join it already in progress, taped in our 9:30 service.
He loves us, oh how He loves us, and oh how He loves us, and oh how He loves
us. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I hope you can embrace that this morning, and that is the power of any message that I might try to share, is that His love overwhelms and overpowers everything that we do and are. There was a man walking down the beach in California, and as he was walking down the beach, he looked down and there was a lamp. And so he picked up the lamp and began to rub it, and you know what happens, a genie comes out. And the genie, looking rather upset, said, "Okay, I'm the genie in the bottle, yada, 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 wish, whatever." He said, "I've done this four times this week. You don't get three wishes, you just get one wish, so you better make it good." And so the man begins to think. "What if I could wish for anything in the world, what would I wish for? Anything that I could have, what would it be?" And as he's thinking, he says, "You know, I've always wanted to travel. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm scared of airplanes and I get seasick, and so I'm never able to travel." He said, "Can you make me a road from California to Hawaii so that I can actually get to go to Hawaii for once in my life?" The genie looked at him and began to shake his head and said, "You don't understand. Can you imagine the logistics that go behind building a bridge from California to Hawaii? Where would you put the middle of the Pacific? Where would you put the structure to go down?" He said, "That's impossible." He said, "Come up with another wish." The man said, "Okay, well, let me think. My second wish." He said, "You know, I've been married 25 years, but every day, even after 25 years, my wife will look at me and say, 'You just don't get it.'" He said, "So I don't know after 25 years if I really understand women." He said, "So what I want is for you to help me understand what women are thinking. I want to know what they mean when they say things. I want to know what is at their heart." The genie looked at him and said, "Do you want that bridge to be two lanes or four?" I see some of you men, you want to laugh, but your wives are giving you the elbow, right? You're wanting to laugh. Well, this morning, wives and mothers and grandmothers and daughters and women, you know, I don't think we were meant to understand them, men, because we don't walk in their shoes. And because of that, I think sometimes we don't appreciate them for all that they've done and for all that they do, because we never really can grasp who they are. So this morning, I want to take just a few minutes to honor not just our mothers and our grandmothers, but I want to honor our daughters and our sisters, those that are married, those that are not married, those that have children, those that don't have children. You see, I want to take a moment on this Mother's Day to honor all of the women in our lives. And I want to do it by reading a passage that for some has become somewhat controversial. It's a passage that I've seen over the years get misinterpreted, and in its misinterpretation, it's brought a lot of guilt to some mothers. It's brought a lot of guilt to some women, when instead, when you read this passage, it is the most freeing passage for women that is written in the Bible. And so what I want to do is just show you how this passage not only honors you, women, not only empowers you, but frees you to be who God called you to be. And I'm hoping that as we read through this for just a few moments, that some of you will be set free as a mother and as a wife, and some of you will be encouraged and blessed, And some of you, I'm hoping, will learn to appreciate just a little the woman that's with you this morning or the woman that you left at home. So if you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Proverbs 31. And I would encourage you to turn there and read it. And if you don't have a Bible, there are some in front of you. And I didn't put Proverbs 31 in your order like I do most weeks just because it's so long. Proverbs 31 is right in the middle of the Bible if you're looking for it. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And 31 is the last chapter. And matter of fact, we're going to look at the last verses of Proverbs. And Proverbs, you remember, was written about wisdom. Solomon wrote Proverbs as a means of wisdom, and he added a few other authors that had hearts of wisdom. But this book is compiled as a book of poetry, and we call it wisdom literature. And so in that context, we have an incredible chapter dedicated to women, but not in a way that it gets read so many times. And so to help you understand how to read this, I want to give you some background, because I always think it's important to know the context. You know, sadly, and I've been guilty of it, all preachers or all pastors have been guilty of it, sometimes we come to church with a message in mind and then find a passage of Scripture to fit that message, to justify the message that we want. That's wrong. That's why I always encourage you as a body to hold the people you're listening to accountable. Don't just sit there and take it all and say, well, the pastor said it, or the preacher on TV said it, or that must be true because I got goosebumps when he was reading it. And no, pizza will give you goosebumps. That's not a relational to being spiritual, okay? Get your Bible out and read it. And a lot of people have been beat up over this passage because they don't understand the context and the background. And so, ladies and women and girls, I want you to see the freeing power of Proverbs 31. So what are some things I need you to know? Well, first of all, in context, this is talking about wisdom. And it is the end of the book that deals with wisdom. And basically what they are doing is letting wisdom shown how it is lived out. It's a tangible evidence of wisdom being lived out in the home. Okay? And so that's the basic structure, and that's the context of how all of this was written. Also, you won't know because of the English, but in Hebrew poetry, this poem is an acrostic. Every phrase or verse starts with one letter from the Hebrew alphabet, and there are 22 letters and 22 verses, and so each one starts with one of those, and the reason it does that is because it's meant to be totality. We have the saying from A to Z, this is meant to cover everything in totality about what a woman needs to know or what a woman needs to be encouraged by. And so it's supposed to be a total poem. And in being a total poem, it's supposed to cover everything. And I think it does. It does that in one verse, but I think it's important there. Also, you need to understand, and this is probably the most important freeing thing of this whole passage, is that this was written by a son remembering his mama. Now, I don't know about you, but in many homes, the phrase, nobody does it like mama does, is a pretty big fight starter, right? Amen? Some of you wives, your dad, your husband ever, you know, looked at that you brought out of the oven and said, it's good, but it ain't like mama's, right? Okay? Especially your first 1 or 2 years of marriage. I just did 2 weddings over the weekend, and counseling both of them, I said, listen, the 2 things that both of you never need to say is mom and dad, okay? Don't ever let that come out of your mouths. You know, you don't do this like my daddy. Well, you don't do this like my mama. Well, that is the whole passage encapsulated. This guy that writes this passage, his name is King Lemuel, and King Lemuel is writing an ode to his mama. He's writing, these are the things. Matter of fact, I believe that King Lemuel's wife probably hated this poem because no one could live up to what his mama was like. And that's true in all of our lives, right? Nobody lives up to our mama. And she could have been not a good mama. But when we look back on it, all of our moms are always the greatest mom, and we compare everybody to them. And so what happens is he's writing a passage describing what his mom's like. And in that, so many people take this as being prescriptive for how you should live. And that's another thing you need to remember. This is descriptive, not prescriptive. It means it's describing something, not encouraging you to do something. And so when you read this, he is not saying these are things that women need to do, a checklist to be good moms. These are what women need to do to be a good woman. And I've heard it preached that way time and time again, and it puts guilt and condemnation on women's lives. Because women look at this and they try to be, you know, June Cleaver. That's old. Some of you won't even know that reference. But some of you try to be Claire Huxtable. Okay, a little closer. Maybe not. Okay. Some of you just try to be the perfect mom. And when you're not the perfect mom and you don't live up to this expectation, all of a sudden you feel guilty. And your whole self-esteem is wrapped up into following this checklist. I remember hearing a youth minister one time when a group of teenage girls, he had a little checklist of this passage. And he handed it out and he said, go and put this on your bulletin board. And you can look at that and you can see what it's going to take for you to be a good woman. And I thought, I wonder how many of those women will not become moms, will not become married, and they are living in a life of guilt because somebody misinterpreted a passage that's supposed to be encouraging. Don't take this as a checklist. Stop beating yourself up. It's not about cleaning the house and having food on the table or making sure that the clothes are washed. Matter of fact, there's something in here that I love that my friends that like to use this passage to try to tell us that women should stay in the home and not work and they should be barefoot and fixing meals. And I'm not going to mention them, but you know there's some churches out there and some pastors out there. And if you believe that stuff, well, God bless you. But I don't believe that. But they always use this, Proverbs 31, to justify their standing. But the problem is, in the middle of Proverbs 31, as King Lemuel is talking about his mom, he talks about how she went and worked outside of the home. It says she took her own money, she went and bought ships and bought things and turned around and sold them and dealt with traders. You see, he talks about working inside of the home and outside of the home because it's important for us to realize that what King Lemuel is talking about here in this perfect woman is not about the task that she does. See, it doesn't matter whether you work inside the home or outside the home. The main point is not where you work. The main point is what your priorities are. The main thing he's trying to get is what's the most important thing in your life. I called a friend of mine that's a Jewish scholar because I wanted this Jewish literature. I said, how do the Jewish people handle this? And it shocked me. And I said, how do they respond to Proverbs 31? He said, Proverbs 31 in a Jewish family is not for women. Matter of fact, women don't even read it. It is a passage that men are encouraged to memorize to remind them to bless and honor their wives. I want you to think about that. In the culture that this was written in, it was written so that men could remember how important their women are, how important their daughters are, how important their sisters are, how important their grandmothers are. Matter of fact, in the Jewish home, this passage is read most Friday nights by a father and their children to the mother and to the grandmothers. That's important for us to realize. It's important for us to grasp. Now, there's one more thing I want you to see before I read it. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. I know we ran late with everything else, but I want you to grasp something here. In most of your passages, if you're reading this, at the top, it says, a wife of noble character. And that's good because I believe character is the whole theme to the passage. But as I began to study, the Hebrew for that word, for that translation, is the words Eshat Shail. Now, Eshat Shail is an interesting phrase. It literally means woman of valor. Now, you see, it's easy for us to say a wife of noble character, but that's not really a good translation. The good translation, the best translation, I think, and most scholars that I read, is this describes a woman of valor. It's describing a woman who has strength and strength of character, a woman who expresses strength and gives grace and shows love and shows mercy. And I found it interesting that the only other time in the Bible that that phrase is used, woman of valor, is used to describe Ruth. And it describes Ruth before she's married, before she has children. She is called Eshat Shail, the woman of valor. And so what I want you to see for just a few minutes, what I want you to understand is ladies, moms, grandmas, sisters, daughters, who you are is not defined by your task. Who you are is not defined by these roles. See, this isn't about a list of what makes a good mom, what makes a good daughter. All of this is teaching us that wisdom, strength, and character are the most important things. Now, what does that mean? I want you to see what King Lemuel says about his mama. And so if I'm going to read the very first verse, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. For a wife of noble character, I'll call her the woman of valor. The woman of valor, who can find one? For she is worth more than rubies. Matter of fact, the translation there says, woman of valor, she's worth more than anyone can afford. Now, is that not the coolest passage? I want you to just, I could stop right there, and I'm just covering the surface of this morning. There's so much richness here because I just want to speak to women. Ladies, I want you to hear me. Do you know what God says about you? He says you are a woman of valor, and you are worth more than anybody can afford. Daughters, sisters, teenagers, college students, hear me. You're a woman of valor. A woman of courage. A woman of grace. Why is she so valuable? Well, if you look at verse 30, it tells you, skip down. It says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Why is this woman of valor worth so much? Because she knows that her life is not tied up in what she does, but who she is. You see, your life is not defined, ladies, by what the roles are that people put on you. Matter of fact, I want you to listen to me. Moms, daughters, sisters, as a Christian, you are no longer defined by the world's descriptions. You are now defined by whose you are. You are now defined by your relationship to Jesus Christ. And please hear me. That relationship is not dependent on whether the meals are made on time or the beds are made, or whether you washed all the clothes, or whether you get married, or whether you have children, or whether you have a job, or whether you don't have a job, whether you stay at home. None of that matters to the point of who you are in Christ Jesus. And there's nothing this world can say about you, ladies, nothing this world can do to you that will ever shake the fact that to God, you are precious. You are a woman of valor. You see, so many people get tied up into roles. The society throws so much on us, labels. And our girls, we throw labels on them and we tell them, you know, you've got to do this. You've got to be a mom, or you've got to have kids, or you've got to stay home, or you've got to have the perfect home, or you have to fit into this mold or that mold. You see, it's not about whether you stay at home or work inside or outside, or you have children or don't have children, or you're single or you're married. It's who you are in Christ that gives you value. And when you can begin to grasp onto that, ladies, nothing else will matter. What the world tries to say to you, the boxes they try to fit you into, the labels that they try to put on you, they don't define you. You see, you need to recognize that you are a woman of value. Stop tying your self-worth into those labels. Stop tying who you are into what the world tries to make you to be. And hear the voice of your God this morning. Woman of valor. You see, you and I can take comfort this morning in the fact that regardless of what happens, whether you have a day when you wake up and you go, super mom or super woman, whether you have a day where you come to the end of it and you go, I need a do-over. This one, I didn't cut it. On either of those days and every day in between, it's not about what you've done or didn't do. It's about whose you are. Even on your worst day, you're a woman of valor. So what does Lamel say about his mom? There's a couple of things I think we can learn. And like I said, I don't want to rush through it. So I'm just going to read this and I want you to hear it, because there's some things that jump out. She's worth far more than rubies, for her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up after it's still dark and provides food for her family and portions for her servants' girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. See, she's working outside of the home. You can mark that. Next time somebody tells you that women need to stay home, and they mark this and say, really? In her hand, she holds the distaff, the grapes, the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor. She's compassionate there. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes covering for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gates, where he takes a seat among the elders. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. You see, the thing that jumps out of that passage is not a list of things that you and I need to do. Listen, this was B.C. Jewish woman. You don't do those things. What jumps out of this passage is that she serves others. You see, what does a woman of valor do? She puts other people's needs before herself, and she does whatever needs to get done to provide for her family. Did you hear all the things she did? She cooks and she works. She shops. Yes, man, biblical shopping right here. She has to go shop. Next time your wife goes shopping, I'm going to tell her to turn around and go, just following God's word, honey. Not you, honey. Don't do that. So, good for everybody but my wife. So, she's compassionate. She loves. She cares. She puts others' needs before herself. And then I love what it says in verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. Do you know, picture that laugh of days to come. You know what that means? It means she doesn't take things real serious or too serious. See, some of you this morning, you are so stressed out because of what's going on this week. Ladies, I want you to hear me. Some of you don't sleep because your kids got tests this week, and you've got this going on, or you've got this. And some, you know what she says? She says, I just trust God, and I can laugh at the days to come. When that schedule looks too long, I can just laugh at it because I know whose hands it's in. You see, not only did she serve others, but she had character. Said she was strong with dignity. Now, I want you to listen to me. My grandmother used to always say, a beautiful woman has nothing to do with what she wears or how she looks. I didn't understand that for the longest time. But I want you to listen to me. Teenage girls, college girls, I want you to look up here. There's nothing wrong with looking good. There's nothing wrong with doing your hair, putting on some makeup. Nothing wrong with nice clothes. All of those things are great. But if you spend as much time working on the inside as you do working on the outside, there's nothing you can't do in this world. Because you see, that stuff on the inside, that character, that strength, it just starts coming out. And it will draw people to you. Now I know when you're in junior high and you're in high school or a freshman in college, you think nobody cares. Somebody cares. And you are a woman of valor. You see, what God is trying to say to us is that when we serve and when we worry about fixing the inside, He takes care of the rest. What did it say in verse 30? It says, she had the fear of God. Now, I want you to hear me. The most important thing in this passage is her top priority was her relationship to God. Not a priority, not one of many priorities. Her main priority, her top priority, her and God. Now here's where I bring it all together. Listen to me, ladies. Some of you are sitting out there saying, I don't feel like a woman of valor, Pastor. You don't know what I've gone through this week, this month, this year. You see, God calls you a woman of valor. You are a woman of valor. Some of you can't hear it and can't see it because your relationship to God is not where it needs to be. Because some of you are listening more to the world and who they say you are instead of your Heavenly Father and who He says you are. See, this morning He wants to assure you He created you to be a woman of valor, a woman of courage. A woman that is the center of her own life. See, what I want you to see is that the image of this lady is a strong woman. It's a woman who lives life to the fullest because she knows who she is. It's a woman who is strong. She moves with wisdom and service and grace and speaks with kindness. She's present. She's involved in the people's lives around her. She gives. She serves. She loves. And the greatest thing about this woman of valor, you, so if you look around this room, they're sitting all around us right now. She drove you to church. She's going to go home with you. She's your daughter, your mother, your wife, your sister, your grandmother. Women of valor. That's who you are. I mean, that doesn't leave us out. Matter of fact, he gives us a high calling here at the end of the chapter. See, some of you women need to embrace who you are in Jesus Christ and who he's called you to be. But men, listen to what he says in verse 28. For her children rise up and call her blessed. So does her husband, and he praises her. See, men, children, we're called to bless her, praise her, honor her, encourage her. We're called to help her hear the voice of God whispering, woman of valor, woman of valor. So what I want to do by closing this service is I'm going to ask the men, rise up. Get up on your feet for me. Stand up. That's literal. I want to honor these moms. I want to honor these grandmothers. And I want to honor these sisters. Ladies, as men, we don't always do what we're supposed to. We don't always honor you. We don't always praise you. We don't always lift you up. We don't always encourage you. But this morning, we rise up, call you blessed. We recognize that you are women of valor, and God has created and gifted you to be great. The world doesn't define you, and it can't hold you back. Now, as we stand and recognize, you want to read something that a friend of mine wrote to honor women this morning. To those of you who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with a little one every day and wear the badge of food stain, we appreciate you. To those who experience loss this year through miscarriage or failed adoptions or a runaway child, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, fraught with pokes and prods and tears and disappointments, we walk with you. Forgive us when we say foolish things. We don't mean to make it harder than it is. For those who are foster moms, mentor moms, spiritual moms, we need all of you. To those of you that have a warm and close relationship with your children, we celebrate with you. To those of you who have disappointment, heartache, and distance with your children, we pray with you. To those who have lost their mothers this year, we grieve and weep with you. To those who have experienced neglect at the hands of your own mother, we acknowledge your pain. To those of you who have lived through driving tests and medical tests and the overall testing of motherhood, we are better for having you in our midst. To those of you that are going to have emptier nest in the coming years, we are sad with you, and we are happy with you too. And to those of you who are pregnant with new life, both expecting and surprising, we anticipate with you. For this Mother's Day, moms, we walk with you, we praise you, we give God's thanks for you, and we rise up today and call you blessed. You are a woman of valor. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these ladies. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. And God, this morning as we end this service, I pray, Father, if there's a girl, a woman, a lady that, Father, is just grieving this morning, maybe they haven't been able to have kids. Maybe they're not married. Maybe Mother's Day is hard for them, and it took everything they have to come this morning because it hurts on the inside. Father, I ask that you would free them up from those expectations. Father, I ask that you would set them free from those world roles that are put on us that call out what a perfect mom looks like. Father, and let us pursue you with everything we have. Father, I pray you would help us as husbands and dads to bless our daughters, to bless our wives, to bless our children, to encourage them and to speak your word into them. The world's telling them so much. We've got to step up and speak into them the truth of the Word of God about who they can be and who they really are. Father, forgive us when we grow lazy. Forgive us when we forget, when we're selfish. Father, we thank you for mothers. Bless them this morning. God, thank you that we can be around, that we can watch, we can observe, we can be loved by, comforted, strengthened, the women of valor in our lives. Bless them. In your name, amen. Would you all stand as we worship?
Guys.